Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Leda Green. She's making a return visit because I invited her again because we had such a good interview not too many months ago. She is a spiritual healer and a psychotherapist who, during the last 20 years, has developed a unique way of healing people. She can function from far away without seeing or touching the person. And she tells us that this non-local or remote therapy helps to overcome serious illnesses and stimulates well-being. And she also mentions that the treatment usually feels like a glowing radiance in your body and leaves you feeling peaceful and much more relaxed. That sounds very nice indeed. Welcome to the program, Leda.
Hi, Mike. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I don't know whether you see your type of healing as unique, but I can't quite remember personally coming across someone who approaches it in that way. So how did you come to develop that, shall we call it, talent or way of healing? I mean, how did it all happen for you?
I think it's been developed as I went along the years. Like, It sprang out of me.
Yes.
I didn't do anything special to make it or to bring it to wherever it is. I just healed people. People came to me, they asked help, and I helped them, and it was just coming out of me. It's very funny because somebody asked me this question just today when I was healing this person, and he asked me the same question, and I answered that I didn't develop anything. It's nothing special. It's just healing.
Yeah.
Something that comes from inside. When a person is connected to himself or herself, they vibrate, this vibration actually makes us do things. We don't think when we are doing these things. It just happens. So I don't think when I'm doing my work. I'm just acting. And if my acting is called healing, then it's healing.
Fine.
All techniques are the same. All techniques are coming or driven from one source. It comes from the universe.
Yes, right.
But every person every person uses whatever they are most comfortable with.
Does it answer your question? Right. Do you mean by that if someone comes to you and they say, I'm ill, that you don't necessarily need to know what it is they're suffering from? You get a feeling of what it is and you give them healing accordingly. Is that how it works?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, do you nevertheless, when you engage someone and you sort of bond with them for these healing sessions, do you nevertheless get to know where their problems lie in the physical body or whether they're emotional or spiritual?
Well, it's all together.
Mm-hmm.
If the emotional state of person is disturbed, definitely it's going to lead to some kind of a symptom that actually creates a malfunction in the body. So it's all entangled together. I mean, you can't separate the soul from the body and the brain from the soul. It's all interconnected. I mean, everything is together. But of course, it comes all the base of every symptom that we call illness actually is stress.
Oh, is it?
So I think that in order to heal the body, first of all, we have to put the brain to sleep. And afterwards, to bring the soul, to make it much much stronger, so it can actually help this individual go on with his life. Most people are being driven by their brain. We are very thinking people. We're not feeling people. It's very seldom you hear people say, "I feel, I did it because I felt it." It's very rare. Most people think their way into life. They don't feel it, because the common attitude, or the very common thinking of everybody is coming from thinking, from brain. They teach us to think whenever we were very, very young. They don't teach us to feel. We're going to school and they teach us how to think. I call it mathematics. Not that I love mathematics, but I call it mathematics because we always do 1 and 1 equals 2, but 1 and 1 is actually equals 3 if you think about it.
Yeah.
Two people together comes one, a baby is 3. Why 2?
Yes. Well, indeed, I noticed that you actually say that things come in threes, and I was going to ask you what you meant by that.
Mike?
Yes?
I didn't hear your question, I'm sorry. Can you repeat it, please?
Yes. I remember you saying that things come in threes, and I was going to ask you what you meant by that. So, was that the explanation you just gave me, or does that go a little bit deeper?
It goes much deeper.
So,
much deeper.
Explain that then.
Explain how deep is the thinking goes?
Well, how things work in threes.
How do what? I can't hear you. You must raise the volume. I'm losing you.
Oh, okay.
Mike?
Can you hear me okay now?
It's better, yes.
All right, fine.
A bit louder.
Yeah, okay. No, I was just curious to know where the threes, the idea of things come in threes, came into your sort of thinking, that was all. But if there's nothing mysterious about it, we can move past that one if you like.
Mike?
Yes?
I'm sorry, I'm losing you. Mike? Hello?
Yeah, hello. Yes.
Can you... I keep losing you. You're asking me the question, and I just hear pieces of the sentence. I don't hear the whole sentence.
Oh, that's a shame. I can't do anything about it myself, but if Don's listening in the studio, no doubt he'll try and attend to that.
Oh, that's much better now. Much better. Much better.
Okay,
thank you.
Oh, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on now. You have described yourself as a self-confessed Pleiadian on an Earth mission. When did you find out that you had that sort of connection with our space friends? And how did you sort of come to be on the Earth, as it were?
Well, I saw other beings, I saw different people that looked different on this planet ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I allowed myself to acknowledge it and actually speak about it aloud when I became much older.
Yeah.
I didn't feel free to do it until I was in my late 20s. I didn't.
Yeah.
But when I was at my late 20s, I came out of it. And it's after I met lots of spiritual people, many from different religions, from different beliefs, from different countries.
Yeah.
Different spiritual people just came along my way, and they actually emphasized to me that I'm different, and it's okay. It's okay to see these things, and it's okay, and it does exist. So,
right.
I knew it all along, but I never dared really going outward with it until my late 20s. Mm. Never dared.
Well, you've probably found out...
More information?
Yes. I was going to say, you've probably found out, like I have over the years, that in fact there seem to be quite a lot of Pleiadians on the Earth at this time.
Yes, there are many, many other species in Earth. Yes, many, many, and everywhere. Everywhere.
Yes.
There are many other beings in our planet, and they can look like anything. They can be your neighbor, they can be your dog, they can actually appear to you in any form they choose to.
Right.
And if you're attuned to them, if you allow yourself to actually experience this, you would be able to see it too.
Right.
I teach people here. I teach people along the road how to see other beings, how to feel them. At first, I teach them how to feel them. I ask them to spread their arms just a little and move them along along the space a little, just stretch their arm and just move it around, and every person feels something else. They all feel either tingling or heat or cold air, but something different from what they used to.
Yeah.
This is the vibration of the spirit or the being that is actually around us, and it's not necessarily one being, because it's a high conscious, so it's something much higher than or bigger than we can ever figure out, because our brain is very limited.
So can you see?
You can do it and feel it too. People at home can do it and feel it.
Yeah. So can you see the beings that are around you? I mean, do you see them there all the time, or just when you sort of tune in?
Yeah, I see them all the time, yes. See them all the time. Yes, I see them all the time. Some people see them sometimes. Some people see them once in a lifetime. Some people, they actually, these beings, they choose to appear, reappear, disappear, according to the state of mind of the people that they are actually coming to direct or help. And once they feel that their job or their task is over, they just let it go. Mm. They go. With whomever they stay for the rest of their lives are those people that they need the most, or those people have a task to do. I see them all the time.
Mm.
I see them all the time. I'm with them all the time.
So when they help you when you're doing your healing, what part do they play in the healing that's taking place?
You want me to describe the actual process?
Well, if it's not too involved,
energy, so
if you think people can understand it, yes,
flow.
Go on, me.
It's actually an energy flow. It's a huge mass of energy flow.
Mm.
It's energy, mainly energy. I mean, it's not an operation, so it's nothing physical, because once the energy blockages of the body or the brain or the thinking are moved aside, this person can heal. Or this for example, let's say a person who has cancer, okay? Mm. And most people come to me and they say, oh, please make it disappear. And I can't make it disappear. I can't make it disappear in one instant. I can't. I mean, I can, but it's impossible, because in this dimension, matters don't happen miraculously, or they don't happen immediately. Especially if a person thinks in some certain way. But gradually we move or open this energy blockage, so those cells that have been growing the way they have been growing, they can stop growing. It's mainly a transfer of energy. It's actually changing the energy flow of the person who is suffering from any kind of a symptom. And it has nothing to do whether this person who sits in front of me believes in what I'm doing or not. Because many people come to me and they say, I don't believe. And yeah. I say, I believe in you, it's okay. It's enough that one of us believes.
Right, yeah.
It has nothing to do with the belief of the person who sits in front of me. And when I heal, I become part of these beings. I become part of them. I'm not separated from them. Actually, because I'm with them all day long and 24/7, I'm part of them. I'm more part of them than the humanity, I think.
Mm.
Even though sometimes I think I'm still thinking as a human.
So when you speak to people on the telephone, for example, that doesn't apparently make any difference to your healing them. Would that be correct? I mean, you don't need to actually see them. You just get a link through their voice energy. I mean, how do you overcome the fact?
Many times I don't even speak to these people. Many times no. I just... I get addressed by people by email.
Right,
I really
yes.
I don't have to hear them. I don't have to see them. I just bring myself to them. I bring myself energetically to these people, and I see their energy. I mean, every single person has like our name is like an address.
Yeah.
Many healers are using the names as an address. I use the vibrations. I use the energy vibration of every person as an address, because every person vibrates differently.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person vibrates differently. Every single person has a different frequency. For example, we have 7 billion people on this planet. There are 7 billion frequencies.
Christ gracious.
I see people, or I detect people through their vibrations. That's why I don't need to touch them, I don't need to see them, I don't even need to hear them. Many times people just tell me, I want to ask you about this, and I say, oh, listen, it's this and that, and I didn't even say the name. And I said, I don't need anything.
Mm.
I scan your brain, and I go to the person, and I see the person.
Right, so when you say you sort of stay with people to carry on with the healing, do you mean that you have, for that period of time, a permanent link with them?
Yes, I do have a permanent link with them. Yes, I save it in my memory. It's like a computer, but I'm not a computer. But I do have, I do keep the information, yes. I do keep the information. The information is kept inside me, and I'm linked to them. Whenever they need me, I can help them immediately.
Okay. Now, I understand that you have given advice to people who are abduction victims. When somebody like that comes to you, can you tell that they are abduction victims?
That they are what?
The victims of abduction. Well, they believe they have been abducted or kidnapped by extraterrestrials.
Yes, yes, I can tell this. Yes, I can tell this. Well, I mean, every person's meeting or encounter with an alien or an outer space being is different, because if someone is very afraid of these beings, they will see it as an abduction.
Yes.
If someone is open to these beings, they won't see it as an abduction. Aliens can actually detect your brain, and they actually can exactly like me, see you, scan you, be with you through your brain vibrations. Well, why would they need to abduct you and do things with a person?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
They don't need to. They don't need to do that. They don't harm people. These are not people. Aliens don't hurt anyone. Beings don't hurt anyone. They're actually here to help. They are here to help humanity. They are here to help people. They don't hurt people. They might take them to the spaceship. They might show them another lifestyle, another life being. They just want them they want people to know that they exist. More than we want to see them, they want to show us they want to show them to us. But we're not open. Humanity is not open. People are not very open to these, to other beings. Even today, after so many years, people come to me, and very intelligent people, very highly educated people, and when they ask me questions, and I go into these things of being other beings from another planet, and blah 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 blah. They said, no, I don't want to hear about this. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear about this. Like, what do they think? Where does it come from? And we're not the only creatures in the universe. Mm. Of course there are other beings in the universe. There is such a vast space out there, out of our planet. I think it would be a very, very it would be a waste if nothing else existed there.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion, I don't know. But I come from a place that I know that it exists. And people like me, it's very difficult for people like me, and I have often noticed that, it's very difficult for people like me to actually come to a person that doesn't really know. This is just knowing, this is just education, and tell them, listen, there are other beings. I often I encounter people, young people, that say, okay, I want to prove me. The only proof that I can tell people, I can give people about the existence of a higher being, it's just by letting them actually feel what I want to tell them. And it takes about 2 to 3 sessions until they change their mind. I never prove to anyone anything. I can. I can actually take a teaspoon and fold it. I can actually hold my hand, on top of their hand and actually let them feel my energies. I can stay across the room and I would tell them exactly where they're going to feel my vibration. But I never do this. I'm not a show person. I never do this. Never. Even not to I have many children who come to me and they usually ask me to do something. They call it magic. Yes. I never do this. I teach them how to do this, yes. Because with children, it's much easier. I teach them how to generate energy in between their palms and how they can actually do fold anything, not only spoons. But I never prove. Because the proof is upon them. They have to actually understand it within. Otherwise, everything is going to just look like magic. Yes. And I'm not a magician.
Okay. I understand your work actually goes also into the areas of doing genetic work. So what do you actually do? Is that also to do with healing?
Yes. All people that I heal, I add... we change the DNA. We actually add more strands of DNA. Yes. All people are carrying two strands of DNA. We add more. We add up to six strands of DNA. And this is to improve health. This is to make them stronger and actually connect them to the universe, because these strings of DNA, they contain knowledge. Knowledge about the universe, knowledge about who you were, who everybody else were. We don't know anything about who we were before we came to this planet. So these DNA strands are actually giving knowledge. They're connecting them to the universe. You see, these are their little transmitters you talk about. If someone is being abducted or kidnapped or... But I'm doing it it's very nice. People love to come to me. They really love coming. They sit there and they feel relaxed and like gradually they tell me what they feel, what they dream, what they see. Some people, some channel. Many, many are telepathizing with me. DNA changing or adding is mainly to connect people to the universe. Connect them to the outer world. Give them a better life here. So they... You know, I don't want them to become ill. I always tell them that I hope I'm the last therapist that they go to. Many people come to me and they say, I've been to this and I've been to that. And I always tell them, I want you to be your own healers. I'll teach you what to do. I always teach people what to do at home. Always. I always tell them, I want you to be your own healers.
Yes.
You can heal yourself. You are healers. So DNA changes or addition, Mandy. We don't change anything. I don't change the existing DNA. I don't touch it. The only thing I do is add strength. It's for the best. For the best of this humanity. Maybe we wake up one day and no more war. No more killing. No more hatred. Only love.
Yes.
This is our main goal. To bring people to think from or feel from love. To act from love, unconditional love. And I always want people to realize that we don't need anything. And because we need things, because we think we need things, we actually do a lot of things that bring us to all these state of tension. Yeah. We don't really need this. It's crazy. We don't need this. We don't need this. We don't have to. We don't must. All these must, have to, need, they bring us to the corners, to many corners, that we don't really need this. We can live our lives much calmer. Much calmer. It actually teaches people how to organize their time. I many times hear that people tell me, I don't have time. And I keep telling them the time is a function of how you organize your life. Because there is always time. Time is actually stretchable. So, it calms people. It brings them to places that they realize other forms of living. Do you want me to talk about it more, Mike?
No, that's brilliant. I think you've told us a lot there. We can move on to another question that I have. You obviously must get a lot of people coming to you in any one period of time. Do you ever have a situation where for some reason, say for karmic reasons, you're not allowed to heal someone?
Of course. Sure. I tell these people that I can't help them. Of course. Yes. I have situations that I can't touch people, yes.
Do you at the same time know why you can't help them? Or why they can't have healing at
yes,
that time?
The reasons vary, yes. The reasons why I can't touch these people vary. The main reasons are that it's because of the frequency of their energy. And if a soul is not vibrating high enough, then I'm not allowed to touch it because most people that we do work with are actually moving to the other dimension, and some people don't. Some people don't go to another dimension. Some people stay. And those who are not moving to another dimension, we don't touch them. This is for another era.
So we could
now
jump.
Your next question would be: okay, what is moving to another dimension? When are people moving to another dimension? And my answer to you is, as I often answer people, is: how do you know, Mike, when you wake up in the morning, that is the tomorrow of today? How would you know that, Mike? How would you know when you wake up in the morning? How would you know that this is the tomorrow of yesterday? You don't know. That's a very good question. None of us know that. You don't know.
No.
And you know, to emphasize this answer to me, I have many discs of the movie Adjustment Bureau. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
I have loads of this. I have loads of the disc. I mean, I copied it and I give it to people who have never seen it, and I tell them, please see this movie and you will understand what I'm talking about. At least, you know, give them some idea. So this is when I'm not allowed to touch people.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm thinking to myself that since we live in linear time, whereas outside of that there is no time, we can't know the answer to your question, really, because even the 24-hour day or having a need to sleep is a function of this dimension, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer to that question is, well, wouldn't
say dimensions. Dimensions are actually a state of mind, or a state of dimensions are conscious spectrum, or the level of conscious.
Yes.
And as the universe works as a unity of conscious, like we don't operate in the universe as a single person. We are part of a great conscious community. We think at the same time alike. We have individuality in this conscious spectrum, but we all agree. So we are part of a very, very big conscious community. And dimensions are actually levels of consciousness. The best way I can describe it is actually to our understanding is level of knowledge, more knowledge. Every dimension is actually opening your mind or your being to more knowledge about the universe, about how it operates, about many other universes. Of course, there is no one universe. There are infinite universes, infinite dimensions. And we are only on the third. So can you see the how much learning we still have to do?
Gosh.
How much awakening we have to do?
Yeah, I would think we seem like babes in arms to higher beings who have a greatly expanded conscious level.
I didn't hear your last sentence.
I was saying to people with a higher level of consciousness, shall we say galactic beings, we must seem like little babies to them.
Oh, yes. Yes. In many religions, they always describe these high beings as the father of the people, because they want to give them the impression that this father is actually a father and he's a giving father. Yes. We are like babies. We are. We are developing. Like, we're very, very at the very early stages of developing. And these higher being or galactic beings are anxious to teach us. They're very anxious to teach us. I think we are very anxious to learn. Do you think so too? Do you get the impression, Mike?
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
I think we're ready for it.
Yes,
We're definitely ready to be part of a bigger community.
Well, really, that comment leads us very nicely to this question of ascension, because when I spoke to you before, you were telling me that something like 650,000 souls will ascend, but there were another million that were not ready. Now, one would hope that as time progresses, that percentage would change. So what is the position at the moment, you believe?
It's the same.
It's the same?
Yeah, it hasn't changed. The way they are going to do it has changed, or probably it's going to be, it's not going to be violent, of course. And that's why I asked you. I mean, I'm going back to my question, how would you know that today is the tomorrow of yesterday.
Yeah.
It's going to be done very quietly, very, very moderately, and I mean, for those who stay, they wouldn't know that the other people that were gone, and those who were gone, they wouldn't know that they were gone. They probably would know somehow that they are in a different place, in a different conscious level. But it's going to be done. Yes, it is. It is. It is under process, actually. It is under process. People like me are working, I think, all over the world, and whoever hears me, probably they smile. Whoever is adding or mending, I call it, DNA, because we've been doing this for many years and preparing people to for this movement. It's a silent movement. I can't describe it as a movement. It's not like taking people from one country and taking them out.
No.
It's actually changing your conscious. So you wake up one morning and you're in a different place. It's like a dream. When you dream, you actually feel you're in a different place, right?
Yes.
So one morning, you're just going to wake up from one dream, and you're just going to stay in that dream. And that
it's
dream
nice,
is going to be
it's a nice
your,
one, I hope,
life.
Isn't it?
It's what?
It's a nice dream, I hope, that you wake
yes,
up in.
Oh, yes, yes. Mike, everything about the universe is nice. Everything that comes from out of the universe is nice. I mean, our brain is adapted to think about right and wrong. Our brain is adapted to think about light and dark.
Yes.
But there is only light. And in the light, there is no dark. I mean, lack of light is darkness.
Yes.
And we are right now experiencing a lack of light. But once we are inside the light, there is only light. So how bad can it be? Light. Light
Lovely.
Is love.
Yes.
Yellow
and
light. I love the yellow light.
Yes, that's fine. So, yeah, I believe you said that the Palladians, along with Syrians and many others, are here to take part in the ascension. Do they do similar work to you, or do they all have different parts to play?
Do
they do similar work that you are doing to help people get ready, or
do they
have some other functions as well?
Yes, they do similar work. They do similar work. Yes, they do similar work. They open consciousness in people. Yes, they do similar work.
Okay.
What else
now,
is there to be done?
Fine.
Mike?
Now, I believe, yes?
I think you wanted to hear another. What else is there to be done?
Okay, yeah.
You yourself, you are a healer yourself.
Yes.
Well, you do the same, don't you?
I guess so, yes. Yes, I've been...
We all do the same thing.
Yes, I've been doing healing of a kind for many years. Okay, what happens...
You have been doing the same thing.
Yes, I guess
either
so, yes.
Either consciously or not.
I could go along with that, yes. Okay, now tell me, what is the work you do with angels? Because I gather you work with them as well.
Yes, I work with a variety of beings, and my work with the angels is mainly spread peace or quiet into people's heads. Just bring them to a position that they are calmer. They think differently. It's a mass. I call it mass production. It's actually spreading some sort of energy that is being absorbed by people, and it lowers down the level of aggression. Mike,
yeah.
Are you there?
Well, we could certainly do with that.
So that's mainly what we're doing. Most angels are very informative. They come at a stage of information, giving information to about the universe, about at least some parts of the universe, and it depends at what level of frequency these beings are. Because at one stage or the other, they disappear, and there come other beings that are higher than those angels. The exposure of any being is at any level of getting into some sort of a consciousness, it depends on the frequency of the soul. Because every being is at a different level or from a different dimension.
Yes.
Did I answer your question? I mean, did you get your answer?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I was just curious to know what type of work they did with you, and you've explained that, so that's fine. Now, you said when I spoke with you before that the new Earth process was being accelerated, and you agree with many other sources that there will be an upliftment on the 21st of December, and that humans, to some extent, have to choose, I guess, whether or not they're part of it by choosing between love or fear. And they've got to build up an intention to love. So is that still the situation?
In some form, yes. But again, I'm not sure people are going to feel it. Yes. I'm not sure that it's the 21st of December, but let's say that around this era, this period, a major energetic transform, I think it's a better word, is going to occur, yes. Around this era, like let's say that whole December is actually, the whole month of December is a changing or transforming period.
Hmm.
Yes, definitely,
so
yes.
That will be one time then when we will wake up and we'll know that tomorrow is tomorrow.
I hope so.
Yes.
I sure hope so. Yes, probably we're going to be on the other side doing it to other people, playing with their dreams.
Yeah, it's lovely. Now, let's just move to something a little bit different here. Because of your connections with the Pleiadians, I know that you've been aboard spacecraft, but could you tell us a little bit about any experience you've had like that?
In a spacecraft?
Yes. You've been in small ones, I think, that you may well have controlled yourself. I don't know if that's true.
Yes, but every experience is the same. Like, I mean, many of them, I'm being beamed up. Like, they actually take me in, and the only different thing between one spaceship to another is the being inside them, like the appearance, the way they look.
Yeah.
But it's all the same. The theme talk about what we do is mainly how we go about with elevating people's consciousness. But like the only thing that matters really, the only thing that is different from one spaceship to another, is how the organism inside look like.
Yeah.
But they change. They vary. They at first like I remember my first encounter, like my very very first when I was really young, was that at first they looked like I was living far away from home, and at the very beginning I thought it was my father, actually. I thought, oh my God, how did my father get here? And like, only after I was inside the spaceship, I realized that it wasn't my father, and their form was changed to their other form. And at the very, like, as I progressed working with them, they actually showed their true being, or the way they really look like. But it was very, very gradually done. Not immediately. They can look like anything. So they can look like the ET that Spielberg showed. There are species that look like ET. There are. Yes. There are. I've been encountered with species that look exactly like ET. Exactly. Sometimes when I work, people tell me that my hands are looking, they're changing into, they look like E.T.'s hand.
Yeah.
Children that come to me, I always show them, that's the only thing I show children. I show them how my finger lit. That's the only thing that I show. That's the only magic I show them, because this is the only thing that they love. They connect to it very quickly. But yes, there are species that look like E.T. There are species that look like the aliens with the very big eyes. But again,
yes.
They change. They can change. They can change.
Right. So yeah, you've been in some of the smaller craft, and you said apart from the appearance, they are all the same. So are they all controlled by thought?
Are they what?
Are they controlled by thought? In other words,
yes.
you put
yes.
your thoughts
yes.
out
yes.
and you control it?
Yes, yes.
You do?
Yes, the base of every creature being is a soul. Even those who are not possessing any body or any physical body, or even those who are just wave or just air, as I try to, I don't know how to describe it, but there are beings that are, you can't really see them because they don't possess any physical form. Even those are souls, yes. The base of their being is a soul, yes.
Right.
Definitely. It's a high soul. It's a very, 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 very high soul, but it's still soul. Actually, those very high souls are many souls. They have gone through many, many experiences, many, many years of training, and but they're very, very high souls. But yes, there are souls, definitely.
Is the fact that you meet life forms like that you can hardly see, or have a form. Is that an indication in every case that they are the higher consciousness?
Yes. Right. Yes, only very high, only the highest consciousness can actually appear that way or right. become that way, because they don't need the body or they don't need any physical form in order to be. They just be.
Yeah.
They are in the form of being. They don't need this. They don't need.
Right, let me refer to something else that you can do and ask you how it is of value to you. I gather that you have access to the Akashic records, so do you use those in some way to help healing people?
Yes, sometimes I do. Yes, sometimes. Not too often, but I do, sometimes. If I'm stuck in something, I do.
So give me an example of how that has helped you to understand a person or to be able to heal them.
An example of the Akashi.
One example of how you can use the Akashic records to help a person. I mean, would that be more, say, a spiritual problem with them rather than a physical one?
Well, I take people through time.
Yeah.
It's like hypnosis, but they stay conscious. They remember everything, and I just take them through time to the relevant place where this symptom or this obstacle was actually hurting them. And it's like going through records. It's like going through records. For them, it's actually going through time, either yeah. backwards or forward. And once we reach that specific dot, I don't know how to describe it otherwise.
Point, don't you?
Yes, point. Yeah. Right, I see it as dots, and once they have reached this point, I can see how their body is relaxing, and they tell me that they breathe. The first thing that they tell me is, oh, my breathing is released.
So what you're actually doing, I assume, is you're taking them back to a previous life where something happened that they still carried with them that is affecting them now.
Right. Because the soul is actually, once we go through one reincarnation, I mean, the soul has a memory of all the reincarnations. It has a memory. It has a memory of every single occurrence in past life. And sometimes, the forgetfulness injection doesn't work, and a little dot or a point or something remains alive or awake. And this yes. person actually experiences this very difficultly. So the only way to release it is just, again, to actually tell them, yes, it did exist, let's forget about it. Or let's encounter it so we can forget about it, so we can pass it and move on.
Yes, that's fine. I mean, does it usually work? Is it really the answer to the problem?
No, I usually don't like using it because many people come to me and say, I notice that many people really are bothered by their past lives.
Yeah.
the very common question that they ask me is, okay, what was I when I, in my other reincarnation? And I see that it really bothers them, or it really not bothers them. They think about it a lot because maybe they think that it helps them to live their life here. But it really doesn't. It really doesn't. I try to explain them that it doesn't, and I really don't like using it. It doesn't. It is very emotional. It's very moving. It's very strong. If a person can actually feel it or go through it, if they submit themselves to this kind of treatment, it's very, very strong. Very strong. But our past life is not the reason why we have so many problems or so many difficulties in this life. Why we never ask what was our past life when we were very happy? We never do that. Never. We only do ask these questions when we're stuck in some kind of a difficulty. But I don't like using it because it actually takes the person out of focus, or they don't take responsibility over their present life. It's past lives, I mean, occurrences or happenings of our past reincarnations do affect our lives, but only in a way of what the soul is carrying, or the level of where the soul is, how mature or how old is the soul. But not really, it's not going to solve a person's difficulties in this life. In this life, they have difficulty of consciousness, of brain, of what they're thinking. Their brain is actually holding them from moving on. What they're seeing is actually stopping them. The general consciousness of this society is actually what is holding us. Because ever since we were babies, people teach us that we come to a place that we're being taught that we have to have a house with two windows, one bed. I'm exaggerating, of course, yes. But
yes.
Why not different? Why not living on a tree? Why not living just living? Nobody taught us differently. So will we actually get stuck again for what we don't have? And people do think that their life is stuck because they're stuck in their life because their past life, they've done something wrong and they've done this and that. And there are people that are not, we can't really let them do or move on into places because in their past life they did something, but it's very rare. I get out of maybe 1,000 people, I see one person like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I try to solve this.
Yeah.
And
that's fine.
Even this person I try to solve. Mike, are you with me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
hello?
I'm still with you, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you were.
I was going to ask you about
one of the
services,
Mike?
That you give. Yes?
Okay, I didn't hear you.
No, I was going to ask you about one of the services that you give when you do your healing. And apparently you can teach people how to deal with anger. Now, can you give us some idea of how you do that? Because I guess that is a big problem for many people.
Oh, yes. In Hebrew, the word for to forgive is slicha, which is if we can actually spell it differently. And if we spell it differently, it means to just send away. To send away your anger. Once And I ask people to actually send away their anger. And I describe it as if it sits inside their belly, and they just have to open the belly and to let it out, just send it away, because anger is a very bad advisor. I keep telling people that anger is the worst advisor. It does not help us actually achieve anything. It actually holds us back because it keeps us very, it makes us very heavy. We become very fat from this. And people don't like being fat. So I tell them, the more you keep it inside, the fatter you're going to become. So just send it away. Pretend you open your belly and send it away. Just send it away. Give it away. Give this anger away. It takes time. It takes time. Or I usually, in order to ask them to send the anger away, is I give them the example of being right. I use this expression a lot. I always tell them that disorder is much worse than injustice. Because disorder, you see, I mean, if you get into a room and it's disorganized, you see it. But if you get into a room and there is injustice, you don't see it. Because justice is feeling. You have to feel injustice. And there are 7 billion people on this planet. There are 7 billion truths. It's my truth, your truth, his truth, everyone else's truth. So how can we actually have justice? And most of the angers come from places that I'm right. Well, what does it matter if I'm right or wrong? What really does it matter? If I want to prove anyone that I'm right, I would have actually to act it. And by acting, I can actually make the other person see me. Not by talking, not by shouting, not by... This is wrong. This is really wrong. And besides, we are living in a free choice dimension. And in a free choice dimension, there is no absolute truth. So I cannot be absolutely right. I can teach the person whom I want to tell. I can teach them about my right, about my way of seeing. But I cannot really tell them that I'm right. Many people get this anger because they want to be right. Okay, you're right. Okay. I never fight with anyone. Never, ever. Because it doesn't lead anywhere. I always tell them, okay, you're right. You're right. The minute they start, I say, you're right. Only when they calm down, I try to explain them my way. If they accept it, fine. If they don't, I'll repeat it again and repeat it again and repeat it until they understand it, because it's a matter of understanding.
Yes.
It's a matter of insight. They have to feel in order to be able to send it away. So first of all, just send it away. Work on sending it away. Pretend you're putting it on a boat and you're sending it away. Pretend you're putting it on a leaf and you just let it float on the water. Let the water take it.
Okay, now, what about, say, anger that people feel because they believe they are the victim of some injustice? How do they find the forgiveness within to release the anger?
You want actual exercises?
Oh yes, you don't mind.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I just wanted to understand better.
Yeah.
One of the exercises are breathing into. Into some sort of a plastic. I use the catheter. There are catheter plastics that they give out in the hospital when we do operations, because it has a very long tube. It doesn't really presses the lungs, so this is the best plastic to actually breathe into, because we don't really know how to breathe. We don't breathe. Most of us don't breathe. Don't let the air inside. So I give them this plastic, I buy them, and I just give them away to people. And I ask them to actually blow this balloon. It's not a balloon, but it's actually blowing it. And this way they take out a lot of air. They actually exhale. Yeah. And by exhaling, they feel suddenly that they breathe better. Another way of actually letting your anger thoughts to go away is when these thoughts are coming, I'm asking the thoughts to go away and come back. For example, now it's 1 a.m., so I ask them to come back at 2 a.m. They will come back. They'll go and they'll come back. When they come back, I ask them again. I said, no, I'm very busy right now. Please come back at 4. Each time I enlarge the gap until eventually I'm dealing with the time. I'm not dealing with the idea that made me angry. And hopefully, 2 days later, I think differently about the situation, or I'm calmer and I can see whatever has made me very angry, I can see it differently.
Yeah.
So I can solve it differently, or I can approach the person who made me angry differently.
Fine, yeah.
It's, do you want another example?
Well, if you don't mind, yes. I'm sure our listeners will be very interested in what you have to say, yes.
Another example, let's say that we're driving. Most of people, when they're driving, especially in Israel, it's like in Israel, driving is really a very dangerous business. So when you're driving, somebody's cutting you off or honking at you, or I'm asking people just to shut their eyes for 1 minute. 1 minute. If they're actually driving, no. But if they're on a traffic light, just to shut their eyes and pretend they're somewhere else, or they don't hear this person, because or I tell them, if you ever want to actually curse this person, or actually return something vicious to them, always answer logically. I mean, make a wish that is logically to the situation. For example, if somebody cuts you off in the street and you're like, your heart is pumping out, don't say, oh, drop dead or something. Many people say, you have to, oh my God, you have to hear all these curses.
Yeah.
I tell them, just tell them, I hope somebody else cuts you off, or you get stuck at every traffic light. And it works. It actually works. This way they release their steam. And they really didn't go nasty on the other person.
Yeah.
It works.
Sounds good.
People tell me that it works.
Very simple, yeah. Okay, well then that's fine. Something else that you help people with is developing their intuition. Give us an idea of how you do that, because I perhaps think some people might not know what their intuition is.
Yes, that's very easy. That's very, very easy. Intuition is actually when the soul is speaking to us. With every single person that is born into Earth, their guardian angel, we call it guardian angel, but it's actually their teacher from the soul group is actually coming down with us. And this being is a very high being. This being is actually telepathizing with us or talking to us through our feelings. We have to be able to listen to how our belly, at first it feels like in the belly, how our stomach is feeling. If my stomach is feeling to go right or to go left. So I tell people to shut their eyes and actually feel these things. Feel their stomach. And they say, okay, I don't feel my stomach. I don't feel my stomach. I don't know what you want from me. But I give them exercises like, I give them very simple exercises as what to eat or what to wear. I mean, when we wear a shirt, sometimes we say, oh, I can't stand it. It's not because of the fabric. The fabric can be very, very smooth. But it just can't stand the color, for example.
Right.
So I tell them, okay, take it off. Because that's what your soul is actually trying to tell you. Not to wear this shirt this morning. And it's very simple. It starts with very simple matters. And as we go along and we practice it and we actually listen to what this feeling inside our belly is telling us, it actually progresses and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger until we actually feel every single thing that we want to do, we feel. Later on, it becomes even something bigger, and some people can come to a place of knowing things. They don't hear, but they know. They know that they don't have to do this. They know they're much more experienced, but it's a matter of experience how to listen to yourself. We did it when we were children. Until the age of 10, more or less, we listened to ourselves. But unfortunately, from the age of 10, 11, we listen more to the outside environment, and we lose this insight. Some stay very close to themselves, and they can still they use this thing with the feeling. But many of us lose it, and this is where people come. This is the expression. Where the expression comes from, go back to being a child. You don't actually have to be a child. When somebody asks you to go back, many therapists do that. They do use this expression. They ask their patients to go back and being a child. Not that they really want them to become a child. They actually want them to feel like a child.
Yeah.
It's very pure. Pure feeling of the inside. It's sometimes they feel it as warmth, a spread of warm air inside their belly, their stomach, their upper level of the stomach. I think you feel it now, don't you?
Yes,
but you're a channeler, so it's not, for you it's easy to feel it.
Yeah.
You're very connected.
Now that, I think that's a very good explanation there. Thank you very much. Unless there is anything you want to say for yourself, Lee, I think we've probably come to the end of our chat, which has been very interesting. But you might anyway like to give your web address so that people can contact you through that, even your email address if you wish.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I just want to tell people that if they'd allow themselves to love, to feel loved, and to feel love, they actually will come to everything. They actually will come to feel everything and to be able to fulfill everything in their life. They have to be able to bless everything in their life. And one example is, Many times you hear people, they say, where the hell did you come from? It's very common. Where the bloody... right? Why use these words? Why not say, why the blessed? It sounds very, very, you know, very religious-like, but it's not. I'm really non-religious person. Why not bless? Just bless.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with religion. The more we bless, the more positive vibrations we send, and energies. I mean, like energies are actually they're drawing like energies. So if I'm spreading or sending good energy, a good energy, more good energy comes along my way. If I'm sending bad vibes, more bad vibes are coming along, and I'm closing myself. So just say blessed. It starts with B anyway. For the British, they say bloody, so blessed.
Yes.
The two first letters are the same. It's much easier for the British to change it.
Right, yes, I understand.
Anyway, just happy, 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 happy. Just think happily, and things will come along anyway.
That's great. It's lovely.
Mike, I thank you very much. Thank you. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too.
It's been fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, love talking to you. Do you want to give out your web address?
Yes, please. It's www.lidagreen.com. And that's it. Do you want my mail? Shall I give my mail? Or it's inside the web.
Well, you do deal with people by email.
Yeah,
yes, by all means.
Yes, it's in the web. My mail is inside the web. And
that's
I'd love
fine.
To help anyone. Okay.
That's fine.
Thank
okay.
You.
Well, then it's all there.
Thank
that,
you very
that's
much.
Great. Yes. Yeah. It's very nice talking to you. And you talk at from a much higher level than a lot of other people. And, of course, your understanding reaches out much further. So it's been very, very informative to speak to you. So I wish you every success with your work. You won't have to be doing it for much longer, I guess, at least not like you are at the moment.
Yes. Thank you very, very much for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you were able to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike.
And as you said, Lida, bless you.
Bless you too.
Okay. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Do I disconnect?
Yeah. All right, friends. Lida Green, very, very nice lady to talk to. And she certainly has a lot of knowledge. And I'm glad she was able to come back so quickly to meet us. Now, next week I'm actually away, but I have already pre-recorded a program with Jerry Cannon, who's almost, I would guess, he'd call himself a self-made archaeologist, who has an interest in Egypt, which he's visited many times, and he got involved in a search for the Ark of the Covenant, and his story is very interesting, so... thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it for next week's recording. Thank you very much. God bless you all. Thank you.